Before we send your kids off to summer camp, and I think there's an opportunity to do that, and that's that will make a lot of people very happy around the Chicago metropolitan area. We'll explain that in just a second, because some summer camps are going to be open, and we're going to explain how that's going to work with a woman who is the executive director of the American Camp Association for Illinois. All right, but first, let me just tell you, if you're calling number 19 right now, 312-981-7200, you're going to win a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Order online at loumalnati's.com or the Lou Malnati's app for curbside pickup or no contact delivery. And all you have to do is give us three items from your kitchen: a protein, a starch, and a wild card. And we are going to have a famed chef join us a little bit later on in the program. I like to tease that because we don't actually even know. But later in the program, this chef will be here, and he's going to make something delicious out of those three ingredients, even if they're ridiculous. Yet, as Kevin mentioned at the top of the show, no one has ever stumped the chef on this program yet, as far as we can tell. All right. And our chef today is Justin DeGilia, executive chef from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab in downtown Chicago. It doesn't get much better than that, my friends. So he can make anything happen with anything. All right. Colette Marquardt is with us. And Colette, as I just mentioned, is the executive director of the American Camp Association for the state of Illinois. Colette, thank you very much for being with us. And I was surprised to learn that there are actually a number of camps that are getting ready to open up for this summer so kids have something to go do. So what would you say the percentage is in this region, which would include Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan? What do you think the numbers are going to look like?
Thanks for having me on, Ro. I don't have a number because there are so many camps that we estimate over 12,000 in the U.S., but we don't, have a specific number. And so it's hard to gauge what the percentage. But there are going to be quite a percentage of camps that will open, both overnight and day camps. They're preparing to have children and to help provide that essential child care that many working families need during the summer months.
So if people have called the camp that they normally would use, or they were thinking about using, or all the neighbors are using, and that's not open, and everybody's looking for a solution to this, there are camps that are open, and where can people find them?
Sure. The best place to find a camp would be at findacamp.org, which is an online listserv of accredited and member camps of the American Camp Association, which means that they've gone through a peer-reviewed process for safety and risk management and quality. And then in addition to that, parents are going to have to check in with each camp that they may be interested in, because every camp is so vastly different in how they function, where they are located, what their situation will be like for this summer, what proximity the campers might need to come from, or what kind of new session opportunities they might have. So the best would be to search for the camp and then call that camp directly and get a gauge from them about what they can offer this summer.
Are you getting a sense that the camp directors and people who are owning these camps are frustrated with the fact that people don't know that they're open?
I think that camp directors have been, from the beginning of the pandemic in early March, when things started to really turn for the state and the state home orders came into place, the camp professionals really saw that summer was going to be a challenge and jumped head in and took any sort of frustration or concern into motivation to find solutions and answers to keep kids safe, because that's their priority every summer, every year. The programs are, it's always about safety. And so really learning, listening to the science, listening to the public health officials, and then matching that up with operational design to think about how camps can be different. And they continue to share their plans with their communities, with their camp families, to keep them up to date.
Now, let's talk a little bit about those rules, because we're heading into now this next phase of people starting to get back to work, and there are going to be some programs coming up at schools. Obviously, wouldn't be starting into the fall, if at all. That is still very much up in the air. Some universities already said that they're not. Some high schools are trying to remain virtual, at least for the first couple of months of the fall semester. But it would be surprising, I think, to a lot of people that there would be this opportunity for kids to be able to go back to camp. There have to be some pretty intense rules, though. Colette Marquardt, who is the executive director of the American Camp Association for Illinois, what are the biggest changes here?
Yes, there are definitely going to be some big rules, some big changes to how camps have functioned, you know, for over a century. And we're utilizing the CDC guidance, the Illinois Department of Public Health for guidance. The National American Camp Association put together an expert panel to come up with additional guidance. And the common themes come to keeping groups very small, again, so to minimize risk of spread, to kind of essentially create sometimes they're called program cohorts or cabin groups or camp groups, sort of like what we're experiencing with our households that we live in, you know, staying with the same group of people, the whole experience to help mitigate the chance of the virus. And then also into that, incredible increases in how we clean, how we sanitize, when face coverings may or may not be required, depending on what, you know, the activity is, creating social distance and physical distancing at camps or in programs. There might be program activities that were very popular to camp that they're going to choose to not do this summer because of how much contact or closeness, you know, people are going to have to be. And so as camps are exploring what they need to do to keep it safe, they're also developing new programs and new ideas to keep camp engaging.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's going to be different.
Colette, hold on 1 second for me, because I want to talk about the difference between day camp and overnight camp and mm-hmm. what the opportunities are for kids. Because, again, it may be surprising to a lot of parents, but there are camps. If you've been calling your camp and trying to figure out if the camp is open, they say, well, we're not going to do it this year, or we still don't know if we're doing it this year, which is actually happening in a lot of other circumstances as well. There are camps that are opening and operating, as Colette is pointing out, under these rules. So we'll come right back and get your phone calls at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Colette Marquardt is with us. She is the executive director of the American Camp Association, I should say, of Illinois. And Colette, let's go back to this idea of latecomers to this, because there were a lot of, according to all the stuff I've been reading about, there are still some camps that haven't made a decision that would be opening at the end of June, or they would have different sessions, or they may have canceled their early session. They're going to do the late session. And is there do you get a sense that they're more likely to open than not? I mean, is that the way that this is all tilting?
You know, they're working really hard to find the answers how to open. So they're dissecting all of the guidelines, and I believe that many of them will open because they know that the families rely on them and that the children need a place to go this summer to experience summer and childhood in a safe place.
And the difference between day camp and overnight camp, we're going to get to that in just a second, but in terms of day camps, they're going to be opening up throughout the Chicagoland area. So you got kids that are younger on the younger end, or the parents that want to send them away, can't send them away, whatever the case may be. We talked a little bit about some of the safety measures. You mentioned that the kids are going to stay in tighter groups and not really, the groups are not going to be interacting as much. That's part of it. What about sanitation? How are they able to do that? Because as I seem to recall from day camp, you know, the idea of washing your hands every few minutes really was never on the table when I was a kid.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, just like how it's going to be when the children are back in school in any program, we're in a new time where we're going to have to help teach the children the importance of washing their hands, and they're already getting that quite a bit in their own homes right now, with the mechanisms to slow the virus down and eliminate that spread. So there's going to be lots of hand washing happening at camps, sanitizers. Their camps are looking into PPE that would be required, cleaning. You know, camps will, of course, clean normally, but heighten the amount of cleaning, perhaps cleaning between each group that uses an activity area where maybe it used to just be at the beginning and end of each day. So they're doing what they have always done to keep communicable diseases from spreading in camps. Because communicable diseases aren't new, but what they're doing is taking it to a new level of increased cleaning. And that might mean hiring more staff to do the cleaning and bringing in more cleaning products and making sure they have everything that's required.
Okay, so in terms of overnight camps, is it more likely that overnight camps are going to open than day camps because they are sequestered groups of kids? What's going on there?
You know, both kinds of camps offer unique challenges that the other doesn't. The overnight camps tend to bring kids from various parts of maybe the state or the community or the country. And so that is something that camps are challenged to identify. How do they bring in people from all over into their overnight camp setting? But at the same time, like you said, they're somewhat sequestered. And again, even in the resident camp, they're going to be in their small groups. And so there might be lots of people on the camp property, but they're going to be living and working and playing and eating in these small groups, as opposed to one large group that you might have seen in previous summers.
So there may be opportunities, though. I'd imagine that some of these camps, especially the overnight camps, may not get the same attendance that they normally would get during this time. Mm-hmm. So there may be some opportunities. Where do people, again, find where these camps are and what might be available, what might be open?
Sure. At findacamp.org, and they can search by camp type, gender, age, location. You can do a zip code search. So day, overnight, there's many different activities, special needs. You can filter it down.
Okay. And is there a national standard that is set by your organization in terms of procedures for this? Because it would all be new here. Do you guys have a framework?
Yes. So we have just released our field guide for camps implementing based on public health officials and healthcare officials, the Association of Camp Nurses, and Environmental Health and Engineering, which is a Boston-based firm, that have come together to develop a set of guidelines and resources to help camps know what to do, what is needed to be sure that the campers and the staff are as safe as we can make them.
All right. And finally, Colette, since you are the head of the American Camp Association Illinois branch, what the hell is virtual camp? What would be the point of that? Isn't that like just, you know, turning on the History Channel, the National Geographic Channel? What is that?
What is that? That's a great question. Many camps that are finding themselves unable to host an in-person program want to make sure that the community remains connected and to offer their families opportunities to engage with the children in different and alternative ways. And so many of those alternative ways are virtual. However, they might be things like Zoom campfires or camp in a box where they deliver activities in a box to the home so that the family can do them inside. So essentially helping them with interactive activities, engaging conversation, and to keep the community connected and to keep the children engaged in some way. You know, schools are closing for the year here, and if the kids are at home, they're going to need something to do. But the camps are also looking at it as to not just be more screen time, but as ways to intentionally engage with those campers that they would have had over the summer but just can't do during the summer.
Right, Right. Yeah. I don't know if I want camp in a box. I don't know. I don't really fully.
It's not the same, but it's different. You know, it's different, and they're trying to come up with creative, different ways to do something when they would much rather be in person. I mean, that would be the goal.
Yes. Yeah, that would be the goal. Yeah. All right. Okay, so once again, people can go on the interwebs, give that URL one more time for people to find camps that might be open.
Findacamp.org.
Findacamp.org. There are summer camps still open. There is an opportunity here and they're not all filled up because obviously people are concerned and they don't know for sure, but there's a standard and you can find the camp, talk to the people who are running the camp, find out exactly how they're dealing with this with the kids. Colette Marquardt, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Executive Director, American Camp Association in Illinois. Now, I only went to day camp. I never went to away camp because, quite honestly, my parents wouldn't let me. And I don't know if they didn't trust me or they didn't trust the camp. I to this day, do not know the answer to that. But as a parent, I sent my daughter to both day camp and away camp. And it was always a tough moment. You know, you sometimes think, oh, my God, I can't wait for the kids to get out of the house. And then when they're out of the house, you're like, where are the kids? What happened to the kids? So when they're at the camp, though, I mean, it's like under the best of circumstances, they're going to get stuff, right? They're all of a sudden you're going to find out that they've got something that has the word worm in it. You know, it could be ring or it could be like intestinal. It could be, I mean, there's all kinds of things. And then they come back and then they were bitten by a this or a that.
I stepped on a nail when I was away at camp once.
Yeah, everything happens.
It was not fun going through my foot.
No, exactly. Did you have to go immediately back home, or did they just keep you there?
No, it wasn't so bad that it was all the way through, but it was hard to walk on it.
Was that out of state somewhere?
Yes, it was.
And I like how you're being. It's almost like they're listening. They're going to sue us. Where was this?
I can't remember exactly what state, but this was one of those Habitat for Humanity projects. So we were building houses.
Oh, well, that'll do it. Yeah. That's why the nails were all down there. They take you to the local hospital emergency room, and that was a scary situation? Or they just say, rub some dirt on it?
No, it wasn't bad, and they were not very... They were kind of making sure that I didn't think it was that bad. They're like, no, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Why don't you just sit out for the
rest
of the
camp?
Sounds
like we got a lawsuit on our hands, Rome.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You know, we're going to sue Habitat for Humanity for all that they're worth right now.
In the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle of a pandemic, because we've been in a housing crisis. We're going to sue them right now so we can get Lauren Lapka the millions of dollars that she deserves from a slight injury 19 years ago.
Properly compensated.
There you go.